just want to reiterate what Pauline said about the kind of the what have we heard from God's voice kind of board that we've set up there very quickly this morning. But yeah, because the whole theme is really hearing from God. You know, it's all about us drawing close to Jesus, about our individual relationships with him. But we're doing that as a church, as a kind of a community aspect as that. So if you think you have an image, a word from God, whatever it is that you think is for the church, awesome to go on there. But also we want to encourage each other that we are hearing from God, right? It just builds us all up. And so that's always a nice thing to do. So you don't have to put personal details on it like Pauline was saying, but it'd be great if we can be putting some material on that board. And then me and Minnie were saying we need to grow it. So we need to make sure lots of stuff goes on the first sheet so we can put more sheets up. So yes, this morning I'm preaching on hearing God in the Bible. So obviously the Bible is such a core authority and way of us hearing from God and drawing close to Jesus. But sometimes I think it's seen maybe as a little bit less flashy or maybe dramatic than other kind of ways, things like dreams and things like that we get from God. But actually, I think about my own times when my relationship with Jesus has gone deep, and it's quite often linked to times I've either been getting really deep in the Bible, or it's linked to certain Bible passages or biblical revelation. So yeah, I actually think it can be really dramatic and really flashy and really essential in our journeys with God. But I said there about like it's been when there's been times I've been reading the Bible more. And I say times because I'm not always very consistent at reading the Bible. And I think when you actually consider it, it's a little bit mad, because I know that Jesus, the Bible, they're really core to my life, to who I am, to my identity. And yet there's times where I go, oh, well, I don't really have enough time, do I? So I won't pick up even to just read a verse, which of course I just should. And yet I was thinking about it, I was thinking it's mad, and it's funny, we were very much on the same page, because I was also thinking about my phone, and I was like, gosh, there's never a day I don't pick up my phone. Like, that's kind of, I suppose, the way I communicate friends, family, and just kind of snoop on what's happening in the world a little bit, let's face it. But yeah, I'd never not do that, and yet the Bible doesn't hold that same kind of, I don't consider it the same way. I'm not like, oh, I can't leave the house without my Bible kind of thing. And I was like, oh, I need to kind of change that mindset a little bit. And Pauline gave us some of the stats on, or something, you know, it's the most sold. No, it's all good. But the least read book. Oh, I've gone too far with my clicker already. I'm going to put it down so I don't go too far again. This was the image you should have been seeing for the past couple of minutes, guys. Yeah, but it's just like a bit of a challenge. I need to change how I look at the Bible. But I know I'm not alone in this, that we think, oh yeah, it'd be really good if we could pick up the Bible more, but maybe I'm not doing it enough. We know it's good. In theory, we know it's really good. Even in practice, we know it's good. I'm sure all of you here have had moments where you've had that kind of revelation from the Bible. So we know practically it's good, but we do find it hard. And so I was thinking this morning, I was like, well, how can I encourage us this morning to do that more? And I thought, actually, let's just actually go to the Bible to look for that encouragement in the living words of God. So I'm going to be reading through the Road to Emmaus, which is a fairly lengthy section, and I'm going to be reading it very slowly. Yeah, it's just about Jesus opening the scripture to a couple of disciples. And so as I read it now, because our theme is hearing from God, I'd ask you to be keeping your eyes and your ears open for what God has got to say to you. And actually welcome any interruptions that you get, any ideas, any musings or anything you feel like God puts into your head, or just like, you know, certain bits that pop out to you in the scripture, whatever it is. And you'll notice that there are pens and paper as you went to sit down. You might have got jabbed by a pen. Apologies for that. But I'm going to say that either during the reading or at the end, I'm going to kind of give a little bit of space for anyone to just write anything down. But don't feel pressure. Don't be like, God, come on, you've got to give me something. I need to be seen to be writing at the end of this. Don't worry, because if you don't have anything, I'm just going to give you something to write. So you can just write that down. So no one needs to feel any pressure. It's just about listening to God. But yeah, so I should get reading really soon. But we're just going to be quiet for a moment and just give us an opportunity to tune into God for 5 seconds. So on Luke chapter 24:13-35. On the road to Emmaus. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening, the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while we talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them, assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Okay, so it's time to write something down. So this is just anything that stood out to you, anything that stood out to you, or the thing that was most striking to you. And if you're feeling really blank, then you have my permission to simply write, "Open the scriptures for me, Lord." So that's "Open the scriptures for me, Lord." If you're struggling with anything else, don't worry, just write that. And we're going to be coming back to this at the end of the service. Awesome. Okay. Right. So, Pauline, again, has already given you a heads up on this bit. But basically, there's the two elements, isn't there, to reading the Bible. There's the kind of head wanting to understand what has happened. And then there's the, you know, wanting to apply its message to our lives. So we've kind of got the head and the heart bit that you've already seen my beautiful little picture. Not that I made it or anything, but there we go. The head and the heart, they work together. So the head stuff, it's that kind of the context and culture. And let's not pretend the Bible is pretty confusing, particularly at times, compared to how we see the world in a modern way. So it's always good to have a bit of a commentary or written or spoken to kind of get understand what's actually happening in any passage, given passage of the Bible, or just a study Bible or Google search the confusing bits. I know sometimes I look up things and I was like, oh, I thought I understand that, stood that bit. I thought that's what was going on. I was like, oh, actually, there's something else going on here. So it can be helpful even when you're not confused. And it helps us to get that kind of objective meaning, what that would have meant and why that would happen for those people at that time. And often when that stuff is a bit clearer, when our heads kind of get where things are going, it can make it easier for us to kind of hear the message for our lives. Although God doesn't work in standard ways, does he? You might have had some questions as we read that, but that doesn't mean that God wasn't able to speak to you anyway if you're kind of listening up for him. But then often that understanding helps to eke out what God really means for you as well, doesn't it? But yeah, it takes prayerful consideration and exploration of the passage. Sometimes it's not just a single read through that helps you to really see what God has got for you there. And actually, even in this passage on the road to Emmaus, you know, Jesus is basically doing a full-on Bible study, explaining everything. So he's got all the head stuff going on. And then the disciples say at the end, they say, oh, weren't our hearts burning within us? They'd got their heart, the hearts were there. They were really listening with their hearts, with their lives, as well as kind of getting that full-blown understanding with their heads. So we've had a read-through. Hopefully our hearts have been listening in, and our heads, it's not that difficult a passage, I don't think, compared to other bits in the Bible, to kind of mostly be like, okay, they went on a walk, someone came and chatted to them. We get that. I thought I'd go a little bit of a run through, and if there was any stuff I got confused about, chuck it in there. And also some of my own musings that might help to highlight anything that God was got to say to you today. I do have some props and pictures that were kind of to try and help us with that as well. That's why I've got my boots complete with mud and smelly socks, guys. I wouldn't test them to smell them, because I've definitely worn them at least once. So firstly, the kind of passage starts and it kind of says, now that same day. So that's the same day, the evening of kind of, or the afternoon of Jesus' resurrection. So 3 days since he's crucified. The women have seen him, as Cleopas explains. But clearly there's some doubt going on, isn't there? Because these disciples, if you thought Jesus had just risen, you wouldn't be going, oh, okay, I'll just take a wander away from Jerusalem today. So you imagine there's a bit of their doubt, maybe it's just all got a bit much for them, the pressure in Jerusalem. I mean, they're disciples of Jesus. Surely they're in a bit of a precarious place, potentially, feeling a bit worried. Or maybe they just had a prior engagement. We don't actually know why they were going to this place called Emmaus. There could be lots and lots of reasons. And Emmaus itself, it's not a particularly well-known place. It's kind of a few different theories about what village is exactly being kind of referred to in the text here, and also the distance they're a little bit confused about. But the idea is it's a bit of a walk away, probably about 7 miles, about 2 hours walk, so, you know, a good stretch. But then Jesus approaches them, doesn't he? So were they afraid to speak, do you think? Because that's what I think about it. I thought Cleopas, in some ways, he was quite brave, even being like, you know, oh yes, Jesus, he was powerful before God and before the people. They all, you know, all thought he was a great prophet, but he's been put to death. You know, they didn't know who Jesus was, didn't they? They didn't recognise him. So it could have been a spy for the Sanhedrin. I don't know whether they had spies those days. But I imagine that maybe they were a little bit worried. And I wonder whether the other guy there was a little bit like, gosh, you've given a bit too much away. Maybe he thinks they're disciples now. Or maybe he was a bit annoyed with Cleopas, and a bit like, we should have just said Jesus was, you know, he was the one we were following. We were his disciples. Maybe he didn't think if he'd been honest enough. And then how do you think they maybe reacted when Jesus turned around and calls them foolish and then slow? Rude, perhaps? That's kind of my initial thinking about it. And then I thought, well, if they're just at this state where they're kind of, you know, everything they'd hoped for has kind of just about, that, you know, in their minds, it's come to an end. They're kind of at their wit's end. They're probably a little bit desperate for answers. So actually having someone turn up and just be really authoritative and be like, hang on, no, I know what's going on. Maybe actually they didn't even notice the rudeness. They didn't notice it was a bit abrupt. They just were like, this person knows what he's on about. But yeah. And then, is anyone else with me? A little bit jealous having Jesus getting to do this epic Bible breakdown, like talking about that, you know, what Moses wrote, those kind of first five books in the Bibles, and then all the prophets. Yeah, that would have been just amazing. It's cool to think about what he maybe, what did he point out? I would have thought the Passover, surely the Passover, that's a given, right? The blood of the lamb over the door lintel, saving the Israelites. Maybe that was an obvious one to go for. Or maybe he went for the less obvious ones. Maybe he went for, I don't know, Moses holding up a snake on a staff in Exodus to heal the Israelites from the poison in their veins. Or maybe he talked about Noah and the flood. We don't know, and we can only be jealous, I think. But yeah, I think I always feel sorry for the Israelites kind of at this point, because although you've got the prophecies, and all the prophecies kind of say stuff about there being a suffering Christ and Messiah, if you didn't already know Jesus, I don't think it's that obvious. I think, you know, it's fair enough they missed it. And, you know, that was tradition, isn't it? They thought someone was going to come and save Israel, and they thought we were going to be, it was going to be a king, you know, in the kind of traditional senses of kings. And so, you know, they really have missed that. And so they needed Jesus to come alongside them and really explain, actually, that's not how we're going to save you. And then we get to the village, wherever it might have been, and the breaking of bread. And because we don't really know why the disciples were going out to Emmaus, we don't really know where they were going. So we don't know how weird it was that Jesus was the one who basically went up and took the head of the table. Potentially, if they were just going to an inn, maybe it wasn't that weird. But if it was a friend's house or their house or their grandparents' house, it might have been a bit odd that he just kind of suddenly went centre stage and, you know, started blessing the wine and the bread and breaking it for them. So maybe it was a bit like, what's going on here? Or maybe it was part of that strangeness of, oh, this is a bit untraditional, isn't it? That really started to, like, you know, the scales falling from their eyes, and they had this revelation that it was Jesus. Whatever the situation was, I think it's kind of, there's something about this breaking of the bread, this kind of communal feeling with Jesus, this intimacy of a meal that is linked to kind of that revelation of who he is. And I think it probably points to the importance, and actually it's all about that closeness to Jesus and in that relationship with him. And then finally we get to the disciples, who are clearly on fire at this point from walking away from Jerusalem. Now they're pegging back to Jerusalem at what must be, I had a bit of a look at this. I was like, you know, what's happening? How are they doing this journey in the dark? Because surely it's the dark at that point. So I looked it up and I was like, when does the sun set in April? Because that's when the Passover happens. So I was like, in April in Israel, when's the sun set? It's about 7 o'clock. As they're getting into Emmaus, it must be about 5-6 o'clock, because evening's drawing in, that's what they say. So I'm like, the earliest they're leaving is like 6:30, and it's a 2-hour walk back. Maybe they're walking really fast. I imagine it's like a semi-jog, so they do it pretty fast. But maybe they need, in my modern day, they need a head torch. But I don't know what they had in those days. I imagine, have they got like big lanterns to help them? Or was it just such a good route that they were just like, let's just hope for the best? Or maybe they were a lot slower because they were like, gosh, it's dark, we can't see where our feet are going, but still really driven. I thought it was worthwhile getting back immediately to tell everyone what's going on. And then everyone already knows, don't they? They get back, go into the house where the disciples are staying, and they're like, oh yeah, Jesus is risen. Yes, Simon's seen him. But they don't seem to be put off. They still, you know, they're really driven to share together what has happened. Jesus has appeared to them and he talked to them. I mean, to be fair, maybe that whole Bible study, we say we're jealous of it now, so maybe they were really jealous of it then as well. It was more than just a little appearance. It was like a good, long chat together. So do we share enough what's going on in our faith with one another? It's so easy, isn't it, to get kind of caught up with sharing what's going on in our worlds and kind of miss the reflective stuff that we have going on with God from our kind of day-to-day lives. But yeah, one to think about, and yeah, particularly after the service, it would be good if we can, maybe anything that you've got written down that you feel comfortable sharing, use it as a bit of a conversation starter with the person next to you. Might be nice. And good for us, I think. So we've had a bit of a go through, and I kind of think, you know, there's kind of a couple of points I've drawn out there. So it's like, we just need to pick up the Bible immediately, don't we? And there's the head and the heart element we need to engage. But actually, I think if our theme is hearing God in the Bible, the road to Emmaus has like one kind of really big outstanding point to me. And it says in verse 32, you know, it says he opened the scriptures to us, and it's Jesus appearing and coming alongside them that opens the scriptures to them. And I think we need that when we read the Bible. We need to view things kind of through a Jesus lens, as it were, to really kind of hear God in scripture, because ultimately all scripture is leading to Jesus. That's kind of what Jesus says in this part here, to God's plan for salvation. We need to have that communion with him to grow in relationship with him. He's the word at the beginning, it kind of basically says in the first few verses of John. And he's the one who's going to walk with us and help us and give us revelation through the Holy Spirit. And you know what? There's definitely parts of Israel's kind of history that if we don't have Jesus there and that kind of that lens of Jesus's love, it can be really hard to think, well, what does this mean for us? What was God trying to do here? We need to view it with that full plan that God's got, which is tricky, but I think we pull Jesus alongside us when we do that. It makes it a lot easier and hopefully makes the Bible then a lot less daunting. So I spoke about my phone and contact with other people. But it's contact with God that we want, isn't it? That's what we are as Christians. It's all about Jesus. It's all about growing in relationship with him. So I need to spend more time with my Bible like I do with my phone, or make the balance slightly different. I think that's what I'd like to do. And yeah, so the Bible, you know, I've just been saying it's so core to all of that. But we do find it a little bit tough. There's a couple of things said there that I think make it a lot easier, a lot more accessible. But there's lots of also different tools and ways we can read the Bible, isn't there? And ways we can kind of almost discipline ourselves so that it is that go-to for us. And there's a meditative way called Lectio Divina. And we're going to be doing a course on that together as a church, which is exciting that we get to do it together, because then we'll get to share those reflections and what God is saying to one another. And create a kind of culture shift in us, that as a people of God we get to kind of actively talk about what God is doing, as well as all the worldly distractions and everything that is going around us. I'm just going to leave those kind of three things. They're my three big points, by the way, to take away from today. I'll leave those up on the screen, but yeah, I'm just going to pray us out. Lord, thanks for the Emmaus story. Thanks for those disciples. We'd love to have you open scripture to us like that. We know we'd love to do it, and yet we know that's what we want. Lord, we find that so tough. Help to align what we know we want with our actions, Lord. Inspire us to come to your living word again. not fear its sharp edge, but embrace what you have for us, Lord. Help us to try out new ways, old ways to read the Bible, to dig in when the going gets tough, to speak to others about passages that confundle and confuse us, to embrace hearing you in the quiet, to engage with you in the busy and the hectic, to pick up our phones, our Bibles, and send a text. Listen to you, Lord. Talk to me, Lord. I'm all ears. Amen.